Last session of the day. Impressed that you made it this far. And we're going to talk a little bit about compliance, ties and compliance, why it's important, and the exciting future that we have ahead of us related to compliance. And my colleagues from, my name is Bob Spencer. I'm from Intel. I work in the Open Source Technology Center. With a focus on the Tizen SDK and compliance specification and tests, working closely with colleagues at Samsung on related things, and they've agreed to let me do the hard work and do the presentation, and they'll sit in the audience and answer the hard questions. So at the end, if there's difficult questions, I'll pretend I don't know them and ask them to participate so they can enjoy that too. So. Mott Switchman here from Samsung will be maybe helping answer some questions. I'd like to go over briefly the goals of compliance. I know that many of you are familiar with it already, and there has been a couple of sessions that touched on different aspects of compliance, and then talk about how it's defined. We'll talk about where we're at today, the things that have happened since last year, moving from mobile to all of the exciting profiles that are in play right now that we heard about in the keynotes and in the sessions today. We'll talk about the process for becoming compliant and look at the rough schedule for when things should be rolling out and talk about some differences between the compliance profiles. Our goal, so there's one of the challenges, one of the biggest challenges we face is discussing amongst ourselves what features each platform should have and how that technology should be introduced and how and which technology should be used, what's the best approach. The various companies that are involved in Tizen all have different motivations and different strategies and different engineers, and we're all trying to come together to align on an exciting and well put together project. Compliance is one of those challenging areas. So as the platform gets defined, then the group that's looking at compliance has to agree upon what exactly should be made available to the application developer, what can be consistent across platforms, what's our plan for compatibility in the future, and how are we going to make sure that we provide both a full API feature set so that the applications have as much as possible and yet not too much experimental stuff that's going to be changing all the time. So if we just had one API that never changed, then compatibility would be solved, but your applications, developers wouldn't be very happy because they wouldn't have a lot of flexibility. And on the other end, if we just put everything in all the time, it would be very hard to keep things stable. Backward compatibility is a nightmare. So it's a balance. We know that compliance, though, is necessary because without it, everybody goes their own way. And even the companies that are the closest aligned, because of various priorities and they're not always in the office together at the same time, they start to diverge. And without some ties to bring us continually together, it's difficult to not have fragmentation, even within our own Tizen group, let alone once we have hundreds of different companies making various watches and fridges and cameras and whatever else may have Tizen in it in the future. Another value is giving Tizen a brand, a certain value. So compliance will not just be APIs, but also have certain requirements on the hardware and quality requirements. So when you hear Tizen, you can expect a certain set of quality. It also gives us, ensures that we're holding to a higher bar. And finally, those things bring us to the last bullet. When you have those things, then people are confident when they invest in Tizen, whether they're an application development office, investing money for their engineers to create applications and taking risk, or whether it's someone creating a device of some sort and putting Tizen in it, they have the assurance that it's going to meet a certain level and that will have that level of success and it won't be changing in unpredictable ways. All right, compliance If you look at the specification from, there's already one specification for mobile that's been well vetted and discussed and published about a year ago based on the 2.2.1 stack. And the if you look through there, the specification has certain terminology standard with specifications such as must and should. We recommend all the shoulds be implemented. Must are required to receive the stamp of compliance, the certification. And then it's mainly two types of features. Hardware features, things that must be or should be there. Wi-Fi or GPS or a certain amount of RAM or certain display requirements. And then software features. It could be security features or certain components in the stack. The most of the focus, however, for compliance is on API. We have moved from a model very early on where we were trying to dictate the libraries that would be available on the system to and realizing based on all of the tug of war that was nearly impossible to get agreement on. In some areas it's easy, in others people want a different audio library implementation or Bluetooth implementation or whatever it may be, and there's a lot of components. So we moved to an API focus for application stability across platforms. So the majority of the specification talks about, in the mobile, it talks about a web and a native API, and you'll see that focus in the specifications coming out in the future. We call the specification TCS for short, and the tests TCT, the compliance tests. And we have, I'll talk a little bit about the types of specifications we have, mobile, wearable, IVI, and the other ones, aligning with platforms that you've seen and announced and heard about. And then the test suite is developed as soon as the specification gets close, maybe 0.5, they start working on the test to validate the compatibility of a specific piece of hardware to see that it is it can be certified. And then once the specification locks down and we have a 1.0, then they'll finalize those tests. They're all open. The source is available. The tests are available. There's a great demo in the tech showcase of the tests running, and you can look at and see what the experience is. You can bring your when you have your device, you can pull those tests down yourself and run them, so there's no surprises. When you get to the stage of certification, you'll know what issues you'll have validating your hardware. And everything is available on the compliance website and that link, and the spec, the tests, and description of the program. Mobile was the first one we tackled. And we went through many iterations and kind of back and forth on how to organize it. And we feel comfortable with the way that it's laid out now. And it was the only one we had at the time. So now we're moving to having multiple profiles, and we're starting with kind of how the mobile worked, but it's transitioning to having more additional profiles to the mobile. The mobile profile is designed for a wide range of hardware. Really from very low-end devices to high-end devices, from small screens to tablet-sized screens. And the camera and some of the other devices are based on the mobile because it matches those devices. It includes both a native C++ API and a web API. The C++ API is the OSP. It's a for applications that for native applications that have access to the system through native calls. But it's very similar in capabilities to the web API. So the web API has grown, and the capabilities for web API have become a lot more robust, so that really that you can do nearly everything with the web application now that you could with a native application. There's not a lot of difference, and the performance for the web is becoming significantly better, so that we really feel that native may become optional, but right now it's part of the mobile profile. And the source for that is online. So let's look at what we talked about in the keynote. So last year was all about mobile. We're excited that now we have an actual mobile phone that's going to ship in Russia. That's great progress. That's a big step for us. And we already have a lot of other things. I mean, we're growing very rapidly, and the number of types of devices that are planned is not even represented here, but there is exciting. So we have in progress already, we've got mobile, we have wearables, IVI, and TVs, the camera, there's already cameras with Tizen on them, and then any number of appliances. I don't know all the secrets of the companies and all the plans they have, but there's a lot of progress being made. So each of these segments, each of these types, will have a compliance profile, and that will be targeted and provide the APIs that make sense for applications running on that profile. As an example, the IVI profile has additional vehicle APIs to receive the sensor information from the car. That car API is not part of the mobile spec. The wearables has specific things for smaller devices that differs from mobile and IVI. So there'll be a specification and a set of tests specific to each category. And these may be adjusted slightly as we become more familiar with what kinds of devices. We may need to adjust the specifications to make sure that the right sets of APIs are available for the right types of devices. Here's an example. So looking at the wearable, so the two specifications that are the furthest along, mobile obviously and wearable. The wearable specification differences from mobile includes that a lot of the UI things that are required on a mobile device, the screen related APIs and hardware requirements are different for wearables. A wearable may not have a screen at all. It may be hidden on your person. A watch does. It's a small screen, but it's different than a tablet to a point where it doesn't make sense to have the same level of UI requirements. The hardware is different. It has reduced requirements on the amount of RAM or cameras or hardware keys. The keyboard on the phone is or tablet, you may have a soft keyboard requirement at least, whereas a mobile wearable device wouldn't have that requirement. The mobile device had a native API requirement, whereas the wearable does not have a native API requirement. So some of the developer tools like OProfile and Dynamic Analyzer that are required for platforms with native didn't make sense for web. And then app controls are required services that provide functionality as requested by an application, such as the music player for the device or something like that, similar to the Intents, Android Intents. It's not required to be available on the wearables. It's not there. They've changed a few other things. WebKit version was adjusted to be able to be not fixed, but that version or above. And then if you look at the wearable stack, or if you look at the Gear 2 specifically, it's an example of how a company can take what is required in a profile and then extend it for their product. So Samsung has added additional extensions for advanced features that are on their cool Gear 2 watch that weren't identified in the spec. And that takes advantage of some of the advanced hardware that wasn't available. So this is something that, the compliance is the minimum that you must have, and you can extend it as long as you don't violate the API on that device. Looking at the four, this is four of the main profiles that are really have the most progress right now. These are rough dates. I don't have to the day of when we expect to have the platform available. Some of these have already been released, and then when we plan to have the specification available and the tests available for use. So if you're planning a device in one of these categories, you can expect to start receiving and seeing on the Tizen.org website these the platform available and the spec available around these times. And if we're late, then it's probably my Samsung colleagues' fault, not ours. The categories here, I won't read all these. I think they're obvious that fall into devices that fall. There's clearly devices that fall directly into these, and there's definitely some gray area where, especially in mobile to wearable, there's maybe a gray line where you'll have to make a decision on which category you want your device to be. The next couple of slides talk about how the APIs are organized. When we were working on the first specification, again, we just had one profile. So all of the things we put in the specification were tailored toward mobile. There was one set of APIs, and that included the full set of Tizen device APIs. The device APIs allow web applications to access features in the hardware that native applications would have access to. This includes things like your contacts or your messaging or communications or file system or notifications from the hardware. Not every profile in the future requires all of these same capabilities or APIs to be available. However, we want to have as many common that make sense to be identified and included in all profiles. So that's the bottom set. It's a fairly small set that we believe all profiles should have as a requirement today. And then the optional device APIs would be picked from when you're defining the profile, we would pick the ones that make sense. So for example, given looking at the three profiles, a mobile would include the full device API set. The wearables may not include all of those, but it has a few specific additional components that may not be on other profiles. The wearable one is still has some definition happening, but like TV, the TV audio or TV Windows API would be required for applications written for the TV. But applications written for a wearable wouldn't have that API available to them. And IVI, as mentioned, has a vehicle API that only would fall into the vehicle. Just talking briefly about the feature mechanism, this has been discussed in a previous session talking about the multiple profiles and compliance, but an application needs to define the features that it expects to be available on the device. And this, let's see if I have the SDK here. Let me change the size so it kind of fits. So this is the Tizen SDK, and here I have a sample IVI application opened here, and the config file for that is where you would specify the features that directly relate to the device APIs that were shown. So here I'm requiring that my application will only work on a device that has GPS. And I can add here in the UI, I can look at all of the available hardware features and pick those features. And then when that device in the field goes to access the available applications in the store, the applications are filtered to only show those that would have the features that your device has. That require those features. If your device doesn't have it, then those applications wouldn't show up. Related to that is privileges. Privileges are the things your application needs access to. Again, with the device API, you can access things on the hardware, and we want the user to have the opportunity to say, yes, you can access those things. An example for an IVI application like this Ghost Cluster sample is I'm requesting permission to have access to the vehicle API so I can see get the sensor information from the car. And then then that application may be denied to be installed if the user selects to not have that permission granted. This is just a picture of what I just said. So you have an application in the store, and it will be filtered based on the profiles that it satisfies and the capabilities of the hardware that match the features that it describes in its manifest in the config file. So if your application doesn't have profile-specific hardware requirements, your application should be able to run on all the profiles. it depends on what your application does. So that in that way, we hope to provide the developer the broadest reach for their application. We realize it's about revenue and dollars expended. So we want your effort to go as far as possible. And we want to provide the lowest barriers between moving your application to different profiles. In the config XML, like I said, we have a UI. This is how it's written in the file, where you'll specify the profiles that your application supports. You'll specify the features and screen sizes that you support. The SDK has a nice UI for configuring that information, or you can edit it manually. And this is what is used to do the filtering for the application store. Okay, almost to the end. So this is a picture of the process for how compliance is created and the process for how certification takes place and is available for the specifications that are finalized and will be available for those once the other specifications are finished and at a 1.0 stage. So there's continual review going on about the specification. The specification's opened as it's being created. It's shared. There's a compliance mailing list. We welcome input and feedback as we're making decisions about the compliance specification, especially from those who are interested in creating a product that's related to that profile. Once you're ready, once you have the desire to become certified, then you can get this test. You can download them from Tizen.org and run them and make sure that your device passes. Then you submit a branding request with your test results, and that is considered by the certification authority for certification of your device. And then if it doesn't pass, there'll be communication and we can work through why it's not why your device is not passing and find out and come to a resolution. And then once your device becomes certified, then it can be added to the Tizen store as an available device so that the filtering can take place that we talked about based on features and privileges. So your device can be an official Tizen certified device. Did I cover all the blocks? I think I did. Okay. So I'll leave that up, and that's all I have today. Is there any questions? So the question is about, what about all the other devices that aren't part of these specific profiles? Should they or could they implement these common APIs? Would it make sense? They can. I think it would be great. I think that the focus, we're taking what we know, what we can put our hands around right now, and we're focusing on application developers putting applications from the store to a device. And so that's really the focus of the compliance program to date. Meaning, yes, you could have a store or applications that would go on a router, and you may be able to make that router Tizen compliant, in which case then we can guarantee some sort of functionality for those applications. Otherwise, you can use Tizen, of course, for anything you want without getting it certified and tied into the store. So I think the answer is it may make sense in some cases. No, we haven't really covered it in our discussions. Thanks for the question. Anything else? Any additions? Anything you'd like to add? Okay. Thanks for coming. Have a good evening.